I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. By the time this podcast is over, four more teams will have gone into quarantine.
That's the current pace.
Quite possibly. This is turning out worse than last year already, and we haven't even started the football season, Dylan. Not optimistic.
Yeah. Well, I guess the only way you can look at it in comparison to last year was that the state made the choice of eliminating the first 2 weeks.
True.
So this year, COVID is eliminating the first 2 weeks. So
yeah.
I think that's the key difference there, but hopefully – I mean, football last year and the fall sports didn't go smooth sailing as far as, like, for everybody.
No.
But hopefully it something kind of plateaus over the next 2 or 3 weeks to where by the time we get to week three, like, essentially like what was week one last year.
Right.
Maybe we'll get to have some semblance of that, but I don't know.
I hope so. Well, welcome into the show, everybody. Yeah, COVID is still here, and we're going to talk about it. In fact, on my script, COVID updates is easily the going to be the longest segment, I can tell you that. But hey, thanks for joining us. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. Find us in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Brad and Dylan here with you for the next few minutes. Before we get to the bad COVID stuff, let's do a couple of team updates. You and I both got out to some practices recently, did stories. You did one on Morville and Dawson Phillips, a quarterback over there, and he's a guy who's got a lot of experience, doesn't he?
Yeah, he certainly does. He's a guy, I mean, he wouldn't classify himself as a four-year starter, per se, going into this year, but it'll be what they like to call a three-and-a-half-year starter.
Right.
Because this kid was thrown to the fire, I guess you could say, as a freshman. His first start at quarterback was their first division game of his freshman year against Pontotoc. It was in the Hollow over there, and it was a wake-up call for him. I think they got beat like 42-0 or something that night. So,
yeah.
But ever since that point, you can kind of just see it, you know, year after year, this you know, Dawson has really progressed, and now they're kind of hoping that turns into a really successful senior season, and it can be because of how much they're returning on that team.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, Morville as a whole, I think, is feeling pretty good about maybe taking a step forward this year.
Yeah, they're super confident, both as a team. I talked to some of the players when I was out there, just, you know, chit-chatting in conversation. Obviously, with my conversation with Dawson, he was super confident, but, you know, even Jimmy Young and the rest of that coaching staff, they all feel like, you know, they got 9 starters back on offense, including Phillips, and, you know, including all 5 offensive linemen. And we all know about Morville baseball and how good they have been. Made it to
right.
4A North Finals this past season. You know, they got a couple kids, Jacob Scott, Luke Carpenter, that were big baseball players and good athletes that haven't played football in years. Now they're back out there in that receiving core. You know, Morville,
yeah,
probably the only team in our area that runs an air raid system. And so that –
might be.
I think they're the only one that I know of for sure. But, I mean, they sling the pill around. And so in an offense like that, you know, the quarterback – I mean, quarterback's important in every offense. But even more so in the air raid offense where
right.
the ball's going in his hands every snap and he's got to make a decision. And a lot of times it's throwing it to somebody. So, you know, he's had some interception troubles. And
yep.
that's part of growing up and growing into that system. But man, he looked really good in practice, and so far everything coming out of Morville's camp is that he's really progressed and taking that next step, and we'll see.
I got out to Amory the other day, and of course they got a new head coach, Brooks Dampier, brother of Baylor, the Houston coach, son of Charlie, longtime coach around here. But Brooks Dampier and Amory are going to be leaning heavily on Charleston French, the junior running back. He's going to be a third-year starter. 2 years ago, stepped in when the starter got hurt and has pretty much stayed in the lineup ever since. He's rushed for over 2,000 yards in 2 seasons. And, you know, he's the son of Rufus French, the former Ole Miss tight end. Not near as tall as Rufus. He's only about 5'8", 5'9". If I recall correctly, Rufus was at least 6'4", 6'5". But he's pretty thick. He's hard to tackle. In fact, he almost tackled me when I was on the sidelines the other day at practice. He came He ran a sweep right toward me, and he and a couple of defenders came just full speed out of bounds and somehow missed me. That would not have felt good if Charleston French had run me over. So I understand now why people probably don't want to tackle him. He's obviously a big piece of that offense. I mean, he's the only skilled guy returning as a starter. Of course, they lost Hunter Jones, who was a four-year starter at quarterback, did an excellent job there. They lost the receivers were Jay Hampton.
Yeah, he's at Mississippi State.
He's at Mississippi State now.
And Braxton Griffin. James Spratt, they lost him too. So like they
three really good skill guys right there.
Completely reloading there.
But they've got some guys they like. They've got the quarterback, Jatavion Ware, that like his potential. He's still got a lot of work to do, but they've also got Isaiah Brownlee. They like to, they'll be getting the ball too, and they think he could be a big playmaker as well. So, it's Amory. They usually are going to figure things out. They'll be pretty stout on defense, I believe. But yeah, Charleston French, I mean, he's been really good the last 2 years. I wouldn't be surprised if they see him just have a huge year this year.
Yeah, it certainly seems like it's trending that way. Anytime you lose a quarterback like Hunter Jones and those wide receivers that we just talked about, and you think about the biggest key returning as your running back, it sort of seems like, the smart plan and what most coaches will do is turn around and say, hey, we're going to lean on you. And that certainly seems like that's the plan of Amory. And I wouldn't be opposed to that plan because he's a very talented kid. And, there's others that are going to need touches too, like you said about Brownlee. But I think French is going to be the guy this year for them. So,
yeah, certainly. So I'm kind of looking forward to what he can do. They run. I mean, the quarterback they have can get a pretty good arm. He can run a little bit, but it didn't. Dampier didn't make him sound like he was a huge dual threat. So I'll be interested to see how that kid works out. In fact, he wasn't even supposed to be the quarterback initially. I know they had that other kid, Maranto.
Yeah, Walker Maranto.
But now he got hurt during the summer.
Really?
I can't remember if it was a hand injury or what it was, but. That may have had something to do with it, but Ware looks like an athlete, and I saw him throw in practice. He looks like he's got a pretty strong arm. It's going to be a matter of accuracy and making the right decisions and all that fun stuff. But anyway, that's my little update on Charleston French volleyball real quick. Tuesday night, I got out and saw Lafayette at Tupelo, and boy, Lafayette put it on them, winning 3-0 over the Lady Wave. I mean, I figured Lafayette would be pretty competitive this year, but man, they got a front line with like Kaylee Gooch, the middle blocker, and she's flanked by girls like Harmony Jackson and Maggie Tower. I mean, they've got four or five girls that can really go up and get the ball at the net, and that's a big problem for Tupelo right now. They don't have anybody like that. They lost some really good front line players from last year. They don't have the size this year. They don't have the experience up front. Lafayette, I thought, really exposed that last night. Jackson and Gooch had 10 kills apiece, and they I think they had 31 as a team. Tupelo had 19, so that's kind of stat you're going to see a lot, I think, with Tupelo. They got to figure out ways to compensate for that, and really the best way is ball control. And that first set especially, their ball control was just not good at all, and so that kind of cropped back. They got better as the match went on, but still that was a kind of a recurring problem for them. So it's just, Laurie Bishop's, she's fiddling with different lineups. I saw him play against DeSoto Central last week, and then last night she had changed the lineup, had two other girls starting that hadn't started before. So she's just trying to figure out a good mix with all those young kids that she has, and I think she'll figure it out. She's a good coach. But Lafayette, team to watch, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good win for them. First win over Tupelo since 2015.
Yeah.
Okay, now let's do the dreaded COVID updates. What we do know is that this is helpful, at least. The MHSAA announced the other day, well, that was Monday, wasn't it, Dylan, that if your school is in virtual learning, you can practice. That was not the case initially. So this will allow teams to get in their 14-day acclimation period, which will help them play games that they initially were going to miss. So that was I think, a good move, certainly, by the MHSAA, because you're seeing more and more schools every day going virtual. for good reason. But then some teams are just going right now, they're having to go into quarantine, which means they cannot practice, which means they're going to miss some games. Nettleton is one of those. Found that out yesterday. They're going to have to forfeit their season opener against Jepora. Can't play the Jamboree they had scheduled against New Albany this Friday. North Pontotoc's in quarantine. Now, the football team is supposed to come out, I think, on Monday, but the school has gone virtual till the end of the month, so they have to forfeit their opener against Tupelo Christian, which I was looking forward to that game. I thought that could have been a pretty good game.
Yeah, and that would have been a good test for TCPS, so, you know, a 1A school trying to test themselves early against a 4A a team that's, you know, typically pretty good at year in, year out. So that was upsetting to see that one was gone.
I know. Then Calhoun City going to have to forfeit its first two games. Now, that second game was supposed to be against North Panola. They have decided to still scrimmage North Panola on September 3rd, but that's still a forfeit loss for Calhoun City. Hatley going to have to forfeit its opener against Hamilton because they've gone virtual, I think, to the end of the month. Hamilton has replaced Hatley on the schedule with Southeast Lauderdale.
The Wade Pierce Bowl.
Yes, that's right. Wade Pierce coming back to Hamilton. Oxford and South Panola canceled. South Panola in quarantine. Won't get the 14 days in. Man, that would have been a good one, too.
Yeah, those are two teams in 6A that everybody's kind of got circled, especially 6A North.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, you know, that really has a shot at getting down to Jackson. So that would have been a good because these two teams may, since they're in separate divisions this year,
right.
Potentially could have ran into each other in the playoffs pretty early. So. It would have been a good, just litmus test for both teams to kind of see where they stack up early. But another one where you're just kind of shaking your head because you wanted to see that one.
And then you got some volleyball teams in quarantine, like Baldwin, Belmont. They'll be able to get – I know Belmont will be able to get back out next week. Can't remember on Baldwin, and I had it written down somewhere. So, yeah, a lot of teams. I mean, we just found out
–
Yeah, Hickory Flat Volleyball. We just found out earlier before the podcast that Aberdeen – football is in quarantine, so they're going to miss their first two games, right? Yeah, because that means Houston, which is not in quarantine and not virtual, is going to has its first two opponents have had to cancel, Calhoun City and Aberdeen, because of COVID. So now they've got to try to see if they can't find somebody to take at least – I feel like you want to play at least one of those dates.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to try to fill at least one because the preseason just would feel like it lasts forever.
There's no, silver lining to this all this COVID news and stuff.
No.
But, I guess if you're Houston, the more and more teams at daily that are dropping out and having to replace week one and week two games, more than likely you're probably going to find somebody in the area that's free on those weeks. So, from a scheduling standpoint, they're probably sweating it, but probably not just, worried about not having an opponent, just considering off the trends of what we're going on.
So TCPS cannot play its opener.
Yeah.
So Sean Holiday should hit up Houston and see if they'll play him.
Yeah. I tell you, we may be, me and you both may be matchmakers.
Yeah, might be a lot of football brokering coaches. Some matchups, yes. Brandon Shields style.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll tweet it out like he does.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So, yeah, that's your COVID update, and it's been giving me a headache. I literally had to take some ibuprofen a while ago after hearing about the Aberdeen thing because my head started hurting.
Yeah, I've made a lot of marks. If you don't know, our football tab, our football journal is coming out Sunday.
Sure is.
And
pick it up.
So me and Brad's been doing a lot of proofreading this week over all 50 teams and their previews and all the feature stories that are written in those things. And of course, we have a master schedule hidden in there somewhere.
Right.
And we've been making a lot of marks on it this week as far as what games are canceled.
And that goes to press, I think, tomorrow or Thursday. So by the time it comes out Sunday, there will probably be some things that are outdated because this thing is just moving so fast. By the way, this is not COVID-related, but Hebron Christian does not have a football team this year. The coach said they didn't have enough kids. They wanted to come out and play. We already had a preview written, ready to go.
Yeah.
But then within the last week or two, they just figured out they didn't have the bodies for 8-man football.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say.
That's tough.
Which, I'm sure you don't want to go out there with just 8. And that may have been the scenario. They may have had just 8. And
right.
So if somebody sprains an ankle or catches a cramp, you're done. So.
Well, hopefully they'll bounce back next year. Tupelo Christian had to do that once a few years ago, and look at them now. So, okay, let's move on to the shout-out this week. It goes to the Tupelo 49ers. They made a nice little run to the American Legion World Series semifinals, where they lost to Idaho Falls. And Dylan, we said going in we thought this was a team that could win it all, not knowing anything about the other teams. They actually beat that Hawaii team, which was a really good team.
They were, I think, 33-0 going into that game Tupelo, and Tupelo beat them, and that win punched their spot in the semifinals. But
And that semifinal loss, they left the bases loaded, I think, twice. Mm-hmm. And
left just 11 runners on total, and I think batted like 143, I believe, with runners on base in the game, and it was like worse than that with runners in scoring position. So it was just one of those days. They didn't have their best effort, and I still think they're probably the most talented team. But as of this recording, Idaho is beating that Hawaii team 6-1 heading into the seventh inning. So Idaho's probably going to lock it up for the second.
Idaho is pretty good.
Well, they're the defending champ from 2019.
That's
obviously
right.
COVID wiped it out in 2020, so they're probably just going to win back to back. Legion World Series still, so that's nothing to sneeze at there. So,
all right, well, that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for tuning in. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes and your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Burns DJ. And we will see y'all next week. Wear your mask.